A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, we love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For whoever does not love a brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world, and the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Verbum Domini. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment. Lord. From fraud and violence he shall redeem them, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. May they be prayed for continually. Day by day shall they bless him. May his name be blessed forever. As long as a son, his name shall remain. In him shall all the tribes of the earth be blessed. All the nations shall proclaim his happiness.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the day of the Sabbath. He stood up to read and was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him, and he said to them, Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the greatest novels, spiritual novels of all time, is The Brothers Karamazov by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Don't worry if you haven't read it. I'm not going to talk about the whole thing. It's a 900-page book. But there's one scene in it that sticks out in memory. The scene involves a wise old Orthodox monk. His name is Father Zosimo. He's aged and he's full of wisdom, and people line up to go to him for confession or for spiritual direction. And so one day, there's a line of people outside, and a widow comes in to see him, Mrs. Kolakoff. She's got a daughter who's paralyzed and needs a lot of care. And Mrs. Kolakoff is a pious woman, but she's come to a realization in her life. And the realization that she comes to is that while she loves humanity in general, it's really hard to love people in specific. Here's what she says. I love humanity. In my dreams, I would arrive at fervent plans of devotion to mankind and might say possibly have gone to the cross for human beings had that been required of me. And yet, I am unable to spend 2 days in the same room with someone. In the space of a day, I am capable of coming to hate even to the best of human beings. She says, I have hated human beings in particular. The more I hated human beings in particular, the more ardent my love for humankind is there and grows. She talks about how she could have lofty ideas of loving humanity, but if someone breathes too loudly in church, or someone coughs too much, or if somebody chews with their mouth open, or any one of a number of things, it just catches her, and it kind of makes it hard for her to love. And what's true of Mrs. Kolakoff can be so true of us, eh? Father Zosimy's answer is just a beautiful response. He says, love, active love, is a harsh and dreadful thing compared to love and dreams. Active love is a harsh and dreadful thing compared to love and dreams. Love and dreams thirst for quick deeds, swiftly accomplished, and that everyone should gaze on it. Active love, on the other hand, involves work and self-mastery and sacrifice. And for some, it may be a whole science. These last days, we've been reading from the first letter of John. And in the first letter of John, John is writing to a community. And the heart of that letter is the call to love. Yesterday, we heard John say, God is love. And today, we hear the great challenge to love our brothers who we do see, to love the people, the concrete people around us in the present, not humanity in general, not some idealized version of church, not some idealized version of what could be, but to love the particular people whom God has put in our place. And in fact, he issues the challenge. St. John says, if we cannot love the brother who we can see, how can we love God who we cannot see? If we can't have the ability to let go of our ego, for self-sacrifice with the concrete people in our lives, how can we do that and sacrifice and have concrete love for God who created us? The command is that we love one another. So often John says that in the letters and in the gospel. In the gospel of John, we hear Jesus say, love brothers and sisters, love one another. This is my commandment to you, love one another. In fact, there's a story of St. John the Apostle as he grew in age, was living in a community, probably in Ephesus. St. Jerome tells the story and says that he was invited on the Lord's Day to say a few words. And week after week, month after month, year after year, he would say, get up and to say some words to the congregation, and he would say, children, love one another. Week after week, month after month, children, love one another. And finally, someone in the community says, you know, we've heard this before. Is there something else you want to tell us? And St. John says, if you do this, nothing else is necessary to say. It's really kind of the heart of everything. that we love one another. Love, in particular, is what we're called to for the people in our families, in our parishes, in the communities that we live in. And if we can grow in the capacity to see each person as God sees them, because God loves every person, then we will also grow in our capacity to love God, God with agapic love that's selfless, giving, productive, and good, wishing the good for the other, and wishing the best for people that are around us, even people that annoy us or disturb us. Love. We're called to love one another as God has loved us. And that's the big thing. We remember that God has loved us, that we love not that we earn the love of God. We love because we have been loved. The love that Jesus shows. Today in the gospel, we hear of Jesus' earliest days in ministry. He's been out preaching in Galilee, and he comes to his hometown. And when he was trying to think of how he would describe what he was doing to the people that he had grown up with, he chooses to read from the scroll of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. In other words, to proclaim Jubilee of the Lord. And God showed this. Jesus showed all these things in the ministry that he did and the people that he served. Indeed, he did bring glad tidings to the poor then and now. Then and now, he comes to us in our need, in our poverty. He gives us new vision and new sight when we are blind, spiritually or physically. He gives us ease from our burden when we feel oppressed. And he offers us freedom from that which imprisons us, especially freedom from our sins. He did it for the people then, the flesh and blood people that he encountered in his walk through life. He does it for us now. God loves us. Jesus loves us. And we remember that as we, flawed that we are, sinful though that we are, turn to the Lord and strive to the best of our ability to love those around us, those whom God has put in our path, that providence has put in our life, to love them as God loves them. And loving one another, we demonstrate our love for God who loved us first.